We're back with Teacher Talk, sponsored by the Columbus Education Association, who is solely responsible for the views expressed. I'm Sue Miziak, your host. Tonight, we're going to learn about the U.S. Green Building Council and a Columbus City school which was awarded the LEED Gold Certificate for Excellence and Sustainability. And we're going to see how green schools can influence teaching and learning. Joining me this evening is the president of the United States Green Building Council Central Ohio Chapter, Tyler Steele. Welcome to Teacher Talk, Tyler.
Hi, Sue. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm so glad that you can be here, and I'm so glad that I met you when WCBE had their fall fun drive, because we got to chatting and you told me a little bit about what you do, and we both were like, wow, this has to do with Columbus City Schools and has to do with, you know, how the teachers are teaching. And certainly it has to do with how students are learning, because mm-hmm. we're looking at the facilities in which they spend a good part of every day during the school year. But Tyler, first of all, let's learn a little bit about you. Will you tell me about your professional background?
Sure. I'm a commercial property manager by occupation, but several years ago, I was more on the entrepreneurial side of things, and I was involved in building supply and consulting, and really helping to see developers and to see even homeowners, and help educate and highlight that we can build better buildings. That I was seeing so many opportunities for, whether it was materials or just practices in commercial and residential buildings, that we were missing. Making them more efficient. And these days I translate that into my day job, where we're running buildings as efficiently as possible mm-hmm. for commercial entities, and with that we're able to save our firm's money. We're able to save our clients' money and make better environments for them.
Well, I know that the public in general is very interested in efficiency, because a lot of times that translates to saving money. But do you still see incidents of waste in new buildings? Do you still see incidents of builders or consumers not caring about this particular issue, and it's the same old story as in the past?
Absolutely, and I think we always will. I mean, mm-hmm. we're working against that. I think a building is only ever as good as its management. Mm-hmm. So, delivering a super high performance green building, handing the keys over to the management team, the operational team, and walking away, that can be a recipe for disaster. It can also be a recipe for success if the team is educated correctly.
So you can have a building that is sustainable, a building that was built according to green specifications, but if it's not managed correctly, you can then negate all the good things that came with that particular building originally.
That's it. Exactly.
That's interesting. And you yourself, did you really, was it just through your job that you arrived at this great concern and love, or was this something that always was a part of who you are in terms of wanting things to be environmentally correct, wanting things to be sustainable?
Mm-hmm. My wife is a teacher in Columbus City Schools, and I've had the great fortunate, I think, to have seen a number of these schools up close and personal, visiting, getting to know the staff and sometimes the students. And, I think this is something, as I have my own children and as we consider schools and the environment that they will grow up in, this is something that...
It's personal, too, then.
Absolutely. And I think it's more than just to us building professionals that it's personal. It should be personal to almost everyone who's sending their student, or their loved one into a school, or into any work building. We spend 90% of our living life in buildings, and oftentimes these buildings are not as healthy as maybe they could be or should be.
Well, Tyler, of course, we are in the process and have been in the process for a number of years in the Columbus City Schools of either renovating buildings or actually creating new buildings, building new school right. environments and that. But we still have quite a few of these facilities that are very old. The high school in which I taught was built in 1929. Is it possible to make a building like that sustainable? Is it possible to make a building like that quote-unquote green?
It is. And, it's a point of interesting conversation, I think, that we take these older buildings and we rehab them rather than raise, you know, where we use the old structure and we simply maybe replace the mechanical systems, we upgrade systems, we refurbish, maybe we do additions, things like that. You know, that makes a lot of sense. Oftentimes for budget reasons, you know, and I can think of a number of examples in the Columbus City District where, you know, it's come into a, you know, it's pretty much a wash to tear it down and rebuild
That's
new.
That's right.
Or, you know, refurbish and renovate an older structure. You know, as I grew up with a historic preservation element in my world, and I think, you know, there is a huge desire, and I personally am very interested in seeing these older structures. I think the dimension, the strength, the quality, you know, the footprint by which they've held on to this neighborhood identity, you know, some of these other things outside of the, you know, the benefit of a new brick versus this old one. Sometimes it's better to, you know, keep an older structure if possible, but, you know, let's face it, this is a changing world. You know, we have a lot of other demands, and, you know, you start adding technology, you start adding some of these heating and cooling systems, you start adding, you know.
That's a lot of money to an older building. But right. On the other hand, we can use it as an example, Central High School, which actually I spent a couple of years there as a teacher. And it is, of course, the site of COSI. Mm-hmm. And so there's a building that's been rehabbed, renovated, and actually when I walk in there, I have a very difficult time finding where my old classroom was located. But certainly they have worked very hard there, I think, to try to bring it up to date and up to par. Well, let's learn a little bit about the U.S. Green Building Council. How did you get involved in this? And I'm going to say why, but I think we have already touched on that a little bit in that you have this personal interest.
Right.
But how did you get involved in it in the first place?
Well, when I had my own company and we were, you know, supplying knowledge and products to buildings, we were using the LEED rating system. We were seeing that the LEED rating system was coming more into, you know, mainstream.
And we're going to be talking about that in a little bit, the LEED rating system.
The U.S. Green Building Council is the organization internationally that developed and manages that LEED rating system.
Mm-hmm.
So this LEED rating system is the leading third-party, you know, designation, or it's a third-party rating system that uses a series of criteria to determine, you know, the sustainability and performance of the building.
Mm-hmm.
So I got into it locally. You know, we were spending a lot of time educating, and locally we just started gathering other interested people, and a handful of other organizations came together, and I'm one of the handful of us who founded the organization.
Ah, so I was going to ask you to give me a little history of this. So what kinds of what individuals are involved in this? Tell me a little bit about the origins and where you're located.
So we're a 501c3. We're the nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
We're all volunteer based. Well, we have part-time admin, but we are typically building professionals. So I work for a major developer, property manager.
Uh-huh.
Other board,
we have like architects,
exactly,
and engineers.
Exactly. Other board members are architects, engineers, you know, representatives from major construction companies, attorneys, accountants. You know, just a lot of folks who, you know, maybe they come to it professionally. It's interesting. We have scientists, you know, educators. Maybe people come to it from a personal element, but they're also looking for that translation into their day job.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe their day job is heavily invested in green and sustainability or buildings, and they're looking for a way to help bring other people aboard. You know, we're about 300, 250, 300 members, individual members, and locally we're made up of individuals. Internationally, the U.S. Green Building Council is made up of member companies. So my firm is a member company internationally.
Mm-hmm.
So and as are, you know, a lot of the firms who, you know, here in Central Ohio, you know, we have a large member company presence here in Central
Ohio.
You
had to have known about the U.S. Green Building Council then prior to your deciding to organize this particular chapter. So you had knowledge of this and saw a lack here in Central Ohio in the Columbus area then as far as it's almost a type of oversight, would you say? Would that be correct when getting certified?
The rating system?
Uh-huh.
It is a little bit, but again, it's a true third-party rating system. So, you know, there's a LEED is basically a checklist When we're designing a building or, you know, going for LEED certification, we'll look at the checklist. We'll determine what we can and cannot do, what's realistic, what's maybe not cost feasible. You know, is it the best idea to put solar panels all over the roof just to make up a small percentage of energy consumption?
I was going
to
say, in cloudy Ohio.
Well, you know, those kinds of conversations happen. And
Okay. So let's backtrack just a little bit here, Tyler. Then what is your mission? What is the mission of the U.S. Green Building Council? And let's say, especially our local chapter here.
Right. Our local chapter's mission is to transform the Central Ohio built environment to be more healthy, prosperous, and sustainable.
Healthy, prosperous, and sustainable. I like that.
So health is important. And, you know, I mentioned already 90% of our time is spent in buildings. Prosperous puts the economic component into it. We need to be saving money. We need to be more conservative maybe with our dollars and making sure that we have that prosperity element. And then sustainable is the future. You know, what are we doing for the future? How do we envision, you know, the facilities and the buildings that we're building for our children? You know, what are we leaving as a legacy?
Right, right. And also, too, I think when we think about the future, we want to make sure that that building is not going to be out of date in 15 years. Certainly if there need to be upgrades relative to new developments in building, that the particular facility would be able to be upgraded, would be able to be improved, and so be current with the times. I like that healthy part, and I think I shared with you one time, Tyler, that the building in which I taught, and a very old building, I don't think any of us were really too aware of air quality there. I mean, you know, you're breathing the air and it didn't smell. So, you know, we thought, okay, you don't think about the air quality. And yet we had an extraordinary number of people who developed asthma. I know I had ongoing sinus problems when I taught in this building. I mean, ongoing. When I retired, they literally disappeared within a month. A couple of people that I knew who had terrible asthma problems, who were always going to the doctor, who had asthma attacks, their asthma disappeared when they no longer worked in that building. I mean, that was amazing to me. It really drove it home as to what air quality, the importance of air quality in a building.
It's difficult sometimes to put our finger on this, and it's I'll mention that it is a particularly dangerous topic because of, you know, litigious society these days.
Right, well, I wasn't suing anybody.
Yeah, right. But I mean, it's a potentially dangerous topic that that can get some attention pretty quickly because of that. But it's the kind of thing that we don't have a lot of hard concrete. It's difficult for you to say, you know, I don't feel well in the space.
Right.
And you know, it's difficult to get a, you know, it's not especially scientific.
No, it isn't. You just keep going to the doctor.
Right. But because of that, you know when you feel better when you're not there for a few weeks.
Right.
And, you know, this is common, and I, you know, I'm not necessarily an alarmist, but, you know, but our buildings, you know, we haven't been as diligent in looking at what's going into the building materials and what we're surrounding ourselves with. You know, just because it's beautiful, just because it, you know, is easily replaced, or, you know, is, you know, I think about carpets and paints and wall ceiling tiles and, you know, adhesives and things like that. Off-gassing in furniture is real. I mean, formaldehyde-based adhesives in standard furniture. You know, that's toxic. And,
right.
And, you know, here we are, we're filling the room with 30 school children and a couple of teachers. And you know, it can be hazardous. It can really, you know, headaches and
things
like
this. You
know,
I was just reading about something like this. It wasn't in Columbus, but it was, I think, at a school in another state where children and teachers were just getting very headachy and all this stuff. And then someone said, well, gee, we just had new carpet installed about a week ago. I wonder if that had anything to do with that. So I think that's what we're talking about here, Tyler.
Absolutely.
I really do. Now, just very quickly, just back to the U.S. Green Building Council. How are you funded, your nonprofit? But obviously, there are always going to be expenses. And do you have partners?
We partner with a lot of other organizations.
Okay.
You know, really, we find partners in other building industry groups. We partner with other, you know, for-profits, you know, for different events, things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, educational organizations. So we've partnered with a lot of different organizations. How are we funded? We're a nonprofit, so we're funded through sponsorships. So we have a lot of member companies and other organizations throughout the around Central Ohio, who see value in our mission, and they are our sponsors. We're also, you know, because we're all volunteer based, you know, our members contribute. You know, so it's a grassroots effort, but it's a really robust community, and we're very happy to have such great community here.
Well, now, Tyler, we have been talking about LEED. That's L-E-E-D. It's an acronym, and this stands for Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design. It's a process designed by the U.S. Green Building Council to encourage and facilitate the development of more sustainable buildings. Now, when it comes to school buildings, what do we mean by sustainable? And I know we've already touched upon this a little bit as far as how a building can affect teachers and students. But let's right now just look at that word sustainable, just very briefly.
So sustainable in this case would mean durable. It would mean long lasting. It would mean has an element of respect for the future. It has a meaning it's energy efficient and more healthful for the occupants. It costs less to run.
Mm-hmm.
Sustainability is a big dangerous buzzword sometimes.
Right. It encompasses so much.
But that's really why I like the LEED rating system specifically. And it's one tool of many. It happens to be the leading and most rigorous and third-party verified. It stands up to scrutiny from scientific methods and things like that. So, but that third-party rating can help us to define through certification. It can help us to define what sustainable truly means in that building's case. It essentially creates a scorecard so that, everybody, occupants, anybody can look up the scorecard for a specific building, say, Georgian Heights Alternative.
Right. And we're going to talk about that in a minute
LEED
here.
LEED Gold building that we can look up the scorecard and we can rattle off, what happened in that construction, in that design construction process. What are the sustainable elements of that building?
Okay, well, let's talk about that scorecard for a second here. And so what are some of these categories that are considered as schools or as any building is rated? But, of course, I guess I keep going back to schools here. But what are some of the categories that are considered here?
So in the case of Georgian Heights Alternative Elementary, it received a gold certification.
Yes.
Some of the big things that it hit on was it was 30% more energy efficient than a standard building. Now 30%, no, that's not 100% more efficient. It's not off the grid. We're not really pushing the envelope that hard. But 30% in the case of a school can be huge savings. 30% of anybody's budget can be huge savings. So that's a significant achievement. This building uses geothermal wells.
So what are those?
Geothermal is a way of capturing the heat or cooling out of the Earth's temperature, which is standard between 50 and 60 degrees. So we're picking up a standard temperature and running water loops through these wells, and then using that to heat and cool the building.
Amazing.
So, that's a very energy saving way to do a heating cooling system.
Okay, well, let's go through some of these other elements then
sure.
that we see at Georgian Heights and that were also part of the categories that LEED looks at. Part of the LEED categories.
One of the things that we look at with, especially in the Georgian Heights building, is more daylighting. Mm-hmm. We increase the daylighting, decrease.
Skylights.
Right. Larger windows. We're removing the need to have, fluorescent or compact fluorescent lighting on all of the time.
Do those windows open, though?
I don't know about the Georgian Heights windows. I believe a lot of them are being designed to open these days because you create, cross flow of ventilation.
Right.
I have not toured the Georgian Heights building yet, but I am curious to know that also.
There was a period of time of construction where windows were sealed. They were just there to let in light. And so some years ago, there was a period of time when, you couldn't open up a window in a school building, which was, That would be kind of disconcerting, and certainly if you had any problems with your air conditioning or your heating,
right.
it could really make a difference in air temperature in a room.
Right.
Okay, well, what are some of the other things besides the lighting and the windows?
In this school, there's an air quality management plan. So there's a plan to look at air quality and what it means to the occupants and how it's being controlled. all, you know, other systems and designs. One of the big things that I think a lot of people can relate to is there's a, in this construction project, you know, a lot of us, we don't see the buildings when they're being built.
That's but right.
You might imagine there's a lot of waste. You know, this building and most LEED buildings, they'll save or divert 75% of the waste material from the landfill. This is huge. I mean, this is these are dozens and dozens of these roll-off big dumpster bins that instead of going to the landfill, it's all being recycled. This
and
is
that's
simple,
wonderful. Yeah, just a simple solution.
It's a management practice.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, this is not complicated. And, you know, as we look at these LEED buildings, this is not, we're not talking about rocket science. You know, it doesn't have to be super complicated. It's a method. It's a list of items that we make happen. A lot of it's management-based. A lot of it's just best practices.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about LEED schools, I think one of the most interesting things is that it's LEED schools are LEED buildings. And in buildings,
right.
You know, we can learn a lot from these buildings and how we can make them better.
Okay. So as you consider current green buildings, such as Georgian Heights Alternative Elementary, how does this become a data set for future research and future building projects? We've kind of touched upon
right.
this a little bit already, and we have just a few minutes left, Tyler,
sure.
but I want to hear about this.
Well, this is one of the things that I'm most proud about, and I've become a national advocate for green building in general and high-performance buildings. And kind of by default here in Ohio, I've become an advocate for green schools because Ohio happens to be the leading provider of LEED schools throughout the state. So throughout the country, we have more LEED registered and certified schools than any other state in the country.
Well, that is wonderful.
It's an amazing commitment on behalf of the state. It's a funded mandate that helps to pay for LEED schools throughout the state. And at this point, we have over 300 registered LEED schools and we have about 100 certified schools. This is more than most other states combined.
Wow.
And because of that, we're turning that into a research project so we can use all of these LEED schools as a data set in collaboration with some of our research partners to determine, you know, do schools matter? And if so, how do they matter? What do they mean to teacher performance, student test rates, you know, attrition, truancy, these kinds of things. You know, what does this mean to our communities that use our schools? And how can our schools be better for the future?
Wow. And, you know, when I hear you say that, I keep thinking to myself, you know, it really does make a difference. It really does matter because so often people think of a building as being just a static thing. But really, a building is an entity, a living entity in many, many ways. And in this case, we're looking at buildings that help to promote better teaching, help to promote better learning, help to promote. Well, you gave me three things at the beginning of this interview. You said healthy, you said sustainable, and you said, what was it,
financial? Prosperous.
Prosperous, that's right. And those three things certainly come into play here when we're looking at these schools that are LEED certified. Well, Tyler, if people want to learn more about the U.S. Green Building Council,
mm-hmm.
Central Ohio chapter, or if they want to learn more about LEED certification, and I would like to repeat that acronym again. It's Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design. If people want to know more about this, whom should they contact?
Locally, they can contact us through our website. It's usgbccentralohio.org.
Would you repeat that, Tyler?
usgbccentralohio.org.
Okay. And I would imagine that there's also then a national website
right.
as well, and so they can go ahead and look that up.
Right. Those who might be interested in learning more about LEED, the rating system and what it means to buildings and how that, you know, might help them in understanding not only their own school or their home, can learn more at usgbc.org.
Okay. Well, it's really wonderful to hear about the future of our school buildings, and we hope that someday we'll see many, many more school buildings in the Columbus City District that are going to get that LEED certification. I want to thank Tyler Steele, president of the U.S. Green Building Council Central Ohio Chapter, for joining me this evening. This was really a pleasure. The time just flew by, Tyler. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. I'm happy to be here.
This concludes our program. A podcast of this program will soon be available at wcbe.org. Please join me on Teacher Talk the first and third Tuesdays of each month. This is Sue Miziak wishing you a good night.